Chapter 12, December. It was a bit of a shock coming back to LA and the harsh realities of real life after their idyllic stay in Hawaii. They got accosted by the paparazzi as they left LAX, which was the first time that that had ever happened to Derek. But he just pulled the brim of his hat down and held onto Styles' hand, tight enough that it felt like he was crushing bone. Styles gripped back and they fought their way through. Derek's heart was racing by the time they escaped into the back seat of a waiting car, and overall, it was not his favorite development. Over the next week or so, three more players came out publicly as well, including Danny. Derek, as the first, however, was still getting the brunt of the attention, both good and bad. Most of Derek's current teammates spoke publicly, praising his courage, and MLB had released a statement promising their full support. The Dodgers had done the same, obviously, and several of the other teams followed suit. Even President Clinton had called to congratulate him and express her support in the three most surreal minutes of Derek's entire life. There was gross stuff out there, of course, and Derek had never been happier to not be on social media in any way. Styles was getting nasty messages, he knew, but he was doing a decent job of not arguing with anonymous strangers, as was his instinct, in favor of ignoring it instead. Derek hadn't been to any public events that would incite booing or anything, but he knew he'd probably have to deal with some of that next year while he was playing on the road. He also had to talk to the media more than he preferred, which was not at all. He fought tooth and nail with the Dodgers PR people about how many interviews he had to do, and they finally compromised on two. He did a baseball-focused one for Sports Illustrated, and then a longer, more profile-type piece that ended up in Vanity Fair. That one had included a photo shoot, which was excruciating. But he apparently did a passable job, and after they were both published, with a decent amount of fanfare, the Dodgers promised that he was free from their obligations until the season started. There were also good parts. Derek could actually go outside with Styles, like with Styles, which was still novel. They went out to dinner at the fanciest restaurant Derek could find and unequivocally acted like a couple the entire time, getting tipsy on expensive red wine and playing footsie under the table. Oh my God. Styles said, laughing as they stumbled out of the restaurant onto the sidewalk. How much did that dinner even cost? Don't care, Derek said. He'd been way too satisfied with himself to even glance at the bill before scrawling his signature on it and then leaving a couple hundreds on the table as a tip. You are, like, beaming. I'm holding your hand, he explained, and Styles snorted. Have we suddenly reverted into a puritanical couple? I've done a lot more than hold your hand, he said, with a suggestive eyebrow waggle, and Derek rolled his eyes. Holding your hand outside, he said petulantly, squeezing said hand harder. Well, that is just the most adorable thing I've ever heard. Look at us being all cute and gross. And I'm a little bit drunk, Derek admitted, and Styles laughed, clutching onto his arm for balance. Me too. So let's go home and have some drunk sex. They walked for several more blocks, partly because it would take a while for Derek to be over the novelty of holding Styles' hand in public, and then took an Uber back to Styles' place, which was closer. They came through the front door, and Styles winced as he peeled off his blazer. Okay, I take back what I said about drunk sex. My food baby is disagreeing with me. Derek agreed. How about drunk cuddling and Netflix? He offered, and Styles' resulting groan was bordering on obscene. Is it wrong that I think that's the sexiest thing you've ever said? Probably doesn't reflect well on me, Derek mumbled as he fiddled with the remote. When he turned back around, Styles had stripped down to his boxers and undershirt and was lying on the couch, his arms outstretched. Derek sighed and picked up Styles' clothes from the floor, taking them back into the bedroom and hanging them up carefully alongside his own. Fuck first, Stiles was muttering into the throw pillow under his cheek when Derek came back into the living room in his pajamas. We forgot to fuck first. Huh? Stiles waved a hand and rolled onto his side to make room for Derek. It's a whole thing. You're a whole thing, he said, letting his eyes fall shut as the familiar Parks and Rec theme song started. That doesn't make any sense, Stiles said, pressing the length of his body against Derek's back and tangling their legs together. You don't make any sense. And I'm drunk. Shut up. Stiles laughed, his breath ruffling Derek's ear. I love you, you dork. The next morning, Derek found himself pacing around the house. He had so far been mostly enjoying the relaxed pace of the off-season, but this morning he hadn't been able to get absorbed in his book. He probably needed to find a hobby. Hey, he said, poking his head into the living room where Stiles was busy working on book edits. You want to play catch? I thought you weren't supposed to throw until January, Stiles said absently, flipping through one of his ever-present notepads, and Derek made a face. It's just a little catch. Please, I'm going stir-crazy. Okay, he said, typing furiously. Give me 10 minutes and I'll be out. Derek sighed in relief and grabbed a glove and a ball before heading outside. It was warm, even for December in L.A., and Stiles' backyard was pleasantly shady. Derek did a few sets of high knees and leg swings, unconsciously going through his normal pre-workout warm-up, even though he definitely didn't need it for a simple game of catch. You know this isn't an actual bullpen session, right? Stiles' voice came from behind him, laughing, and Derek craned his neck around to see him lounging in the doorway, his arms crossed over his chest and a glove dangling from his hand. Yeah, I know, he said, hopping neatly out of his seated wide leg stretch. Habit. They tossed the ball around easily for a little while. Then Stiles held up his hand and jogged toward Derek. Okay, show me the magic Derek Hale curveball grip. Derek snorted and took the ball out of Stiles' glove. He held it like he was about to throw a curveball and showed Stiles. Just like that. Like this? Stiles asked, taking the ball from him and trying to imitate the grip. Close. Keep your index finger right next to the middle one, and make sure your thumb is on the bottom seam, he said, moving Stiles' fingers into the right position. Yeah, you got it. Okay, and now how do I throw it? Stiles was holding the ball stiffly away from him, as if he was scared it was going to bite, and Derek laughed. Keep your elbow high, and rotate your thumb up when you release it. That's where the spin comes from. Stiles furrowed his brow, looking adorably frustrated, and wound up carefully. His throwing motion was awkward, as to be expected, and the ball landed clumsily about 10 feet in front of him. Derek blinked at him. Well, that was awful. Stiles laughed and jogged closer to swipe the ball off the ground. Okay, let me try again. The next tries weren't much better. But after about half an hour, Stiles could reliably manage a shaky curveball. I'm ready for the majors now, right? Derek lifted an eyebrow.
Yeah, I think you should probably stick to books.
Stiles stuck his tongue out at him like the mature adult he was. Okay, can you throw me an actual pitch? Just one, he said, squatting down and punching his fist into his glove. But please tell me you have good control because I am most definitely not wearing a cup.
Well, I am a professional, Derek reminded him, then jogged backward a few feet to put more space in between them.
He wound up and threw, and the ball landed in Stiles' glove with a satisfying smack. Shit, that's loud, he said, shaking out his hand as he stood up. How fast was that?
Derek shrugged. 80, 85, maybe. I'm not really warmed up to throw any faster.
Okay, now throw a curveball. I'm going to pretend to bat. I want to see what it looks like from here. Derek snorted, but he indulged Stiles, catching the ball when he tossed it back and watching him settle into a batting stance, waving his imaginary bat above his shoulder. He threw a curveball from his full windup, and Stiles flinched as it went by. Shit, that is terrifying, he said with a shudder. I understand why they say hitting a curveball is the hardest thing to do in pro sports.
Mine is award-winning, Derek said, just the slightest bit smug, and Stiles laughed. and luckily you have me around to keep you from getting a big head. Derek disregarded the obvious joke, too easy, and held his glove out. Another one. Nope, Styles said, cradling the ball toward his chest and backing toward the house. You're supposed to be resting your arm. I'm going to hide every baseball in this house. Come on, Derek called out, somewhat refraining from chasing him. Just one more. Styles shouted in frustration and ripped the bow tie off, dropping it and scrubbing both hands over his face. Shit! I do actually know how to tie one of these things, I swear. Derek pressed his lips together to hide his smile and bent down to grab the piece of offending fabric from the floor. Come here, let me do it. Styles sighed but let himself be turned around, and Derek looped the bow tie around his neck. He tucked one side under the other and started the first knot. I'm a little nervous, Styles admitted after a second, and Derek raised one eyebrow. You don't say. Styles shoved his shoulder with a huff, but he was pressing his lips together to keep from smiling. Shut up, aren't you? Nope, he said simply, and he wasn't even really lying. He probably should be, considering that they were getting ready to leave for the Dodgers' big annual charity gala, which was the first official event that they were going to as a couple. Styles sighed. Have I told you how handsome you look in a tux? Several times, Derek confirmed, carefully straightening the bow tie. Yet not as handsome as you. That's the only thing that's going to get me through this night. Styles groaned. It's not going to be that bad. Come on, he said, and Derek shrugged. Maybe you're right. At least this time I have eye candy. Styles rolled his eyes. Despite the nerves, I'm a little excited, he said, his eyebrows waggling as he wrapped his arms around Derek's waist under his jacket. Especially since we're all dressed up. We gotta celebrate that long-term contract extension somehow. Derek huffed a little, but he couldn't hold back the smile. He'd just signed it yesterday, and it hadn't quite sunk in yet. Some people in the media tried to argue that it was just a product of the Dodgers trying too hard to look accepting. But honestly, Derek didn't give a shit. If they wanted to look accepting by giving him an $80 million contract over 5 years, then that was just fine with him. Come on, Styles said, leaning in for a quick kiss and thumbing at his jaw. We don't want to be late. So how many glasses of champagne have you had? He murmured, and Styles laughed, hanging onto his arm. 3. If I have one more, you should probably keep me away from the silent auction table. I already bid on a 4-day all-expense-paid trip for two to wine country, and I'm pretty attached to it. Oh yeah? Who would you take as your plus one? I don't know, he said, craning his neck. There are a lot of good-looking dudes here. Maybe Danny would be interested. Derek poked him under the ribcage on the left side, right where Styles was ticklish, and he squealed under his breath, knocking Derek's hand away. Stop that, Derek said lowly. You're gonna make a scene. His attempt at keeping a straight face failed miserably when Styles pinched his ass. Okay, maybe we should get out of here, he said. And Styles rolled his eyes. It hasn't even been 2 hours yet, Mr. Introvert. Yeah, and? He challenged. Maybe I want to go home and peel you out of your tux. Ooh, kinky, came a delighted voice from right behind them, and Derek winced as he turned around. Hello, Erica, he said, resigned. She winked at him and looped her arm through Styles's, who gave her an exaggerated curtsy. Styles and I are going to go and mingle, she said, flipping her hair over her shoulder to better show off the neckline of her beautiful dress. You and Boyd can hang out and not talk to each other. He's over there. Derek's mood brightened somewhat, and he followed her gaze to a high-top table in the corner. After a quick goodbye kiss for Styles, he swiped 2 beers off a passing tray and handed one to Boyd as he joined him. They stood in companionable silence for a little while, until Boyd jerked his chin to where Styles and Erica were laughing together, probably captivating the small group of people they were standing with. Not bad, huh? Derek took a swig of his beer and shook his head. Nope, not bad at all. Derek! Styles yelled from the kitchen. What time are the potatoes supposed to go in the oven? I don't know, he yelled back. wincing as the iron came dangerously close to his thumb. Speed ironing napkins was riskier than he'd anticipated.
Check the schedule on the fridge.
Stiles was muttering something, but Derek tuned out, quickly folding the napkin and moving on to the next. It was the first time either of them were hosting a holiday, and as it turned out, it was fucking stressful. Everyone had come to LA for Christmas, and he and Stiles had somehow gotten roped into providing Christmas Eve dinner. His mom and Laura and John were out at the moment, on some kind of hike, he was pretty sure, while he and Stiles were busy learning how difficult it was to host dinner for seven.
Okay, napkins are done, he reported as he walked into the kitchen,
dropping said napkins carefully on the island.
What time are Erica and Boyd coming over?
Five, I think, Stiles said absently as he chopped a potato. Derek glanced at the clock and winced. Under 3 hours to go, and according to the schedule hung on the fridge, there was still a lot to be done. He rolled up his sleeves and quickly washed his hands before pressing a kiss to Stiles's forehead and reaching over him for the colander of Brussels sprouts.
Laura just texted. They'll all be back in under an hour.
Thank God, Stiles said, wiping his forehead with his sleeve while he dumped the chopped potatoes into a large bowl. She knows that she's in charge of cranberry sauce, right?
Yep, Derek confirmed. She laughed for about 10 minutes when I showed her the schedule, but she knows she gets one stove burner from 3:45 to 4:15.
I swear to fucking God, Stiles muttered, slicing the next potato with a little too much relish. If anybody makes fun of our schedule one more time. Somehow, dinner went off without a hitch, i.e., without Stiles and Derek killing each other or bleeding into the food. With their two main goals accomplished, they were free to sit back and greedily accept the compliments while enjoying the wine that Erica and Boyd had brought. After dinner, Stiles and Laura whispered furiously in the kitchen, not letting anyone else see what they were doing, and Derek rolled his eyes. Christmas Eve was also known as the day before his birthday, and it wasn't difficult to guess what they were talking about, especially since Stiles had been particularly insistent that he would handle dessert on his own. And a large white box had mysteriously appeared in their fridge that morning. Sure enough, the two of them burst into the dining room, holding a cake between them and enthusiastically singing Happy Birthday. Everyone else joined in, and Derek flushed as they set the cake down in front of him with a flourish. You gotta make a wish, Stiles declared once they were done, and Derek reached for his hand to tangle their fingers together.
But what else do I have to wish for?
There was a chorus of aws, mixed with some cruder noises, but Stiles grinned happily down at him. Just pick something, you big sap. Derek looked around at everyone, all of his favorite people in one room, before heaving a deep breath. With his mind flicking to his wish, he managed to get all the candles out in one go. Everyone cheered, and Laura swept back in to start plucking the candles out of the cake. What'd you wish for? Stiles asked, nudging his shoulder playfully, and Derek tried to look offended.
If I tell you, it won't come true.
Stiles laughed and reached over Derek's shoulder to cut a large piece of cake. Boyd and Erica left a little after 11, followed shortly by Talia and Laura, who were staying at Derek's apartment. John disappeared into the guest room right after that, and then it was just the two of them in the kitchen, staring at the dishes. John and Boyd had taken care of the ones from dinner, but there was still a stack of glasses and chocolate-smudged plates left over after dessert. Derek reached for a paper towel and wiped up an errant spill of cranberry sauce from the countertop.
You want to leave them for tomorrow, when the dishwasher's empty? He asked.
Nah, Stiles said, slinging a dish towel over his shoulder. Let's just do them now, it won't take long. Derek nodded and reached for the sponge. They worked in companionable silence for a little while, Derek washing and Stiles drying, while the soft strains of Silent Night drifted from the radio in the corner, tuned all day to the station that played 24/7 holiday music. Pretty good for our first holiday, huh? Stiles said, knocking their shoulders together.
We'll see if anyone wakes up tomorrow with food poisoning, he said dryly, and Stiles laughed.
Yeah, good point. He dried the next plate carefully and added it to the stack. I just really love you, you know? There's no one else I'd rather argue with about the proper way to cook a turkey.
Derek's hands were soapy, so he just leaned over and pressed his lips firmly to Styles'.
I love you too, even though your way is still wrong.
Styles snorted and leaned against him. It didn't take them much longer to finish up, and while Derek was wringing out the dish rag, Styles ducked behind him to look at the clock on the microwave. It's your birthday, he sing-songed softly, and Derek smiled. He'd never really cared much about his birthday before, but he might be inspired to now, considering that it seemed to make Styles so happy.
Thanks for the cake.
You're very welcome, Styles murmured against his lips. I would be blowing you right now if my dad were right down the hall. Derek snorted and reached down for Styles' hand, tugging him out of the kitchen.
I'll take a rain check.
They got ready for bed slowly, both of them seemingly reluctant for the night to end. Derek crawled into bed last and sighed gratefully as he laid down on his back next to Styles. Styles' body was warm and firm against him, from shoulder to knee, and Derek closed his eyes as he let it all wash over him.
I'm going to ask you to marry me someday, you know, he said softly,
and Styles rolled over with a yawn, mashing his face into Derek's shoulder as he rested his arm across his stomach.
Not if I do it first. The end.
You've been listening to The Payoff Pitch by Leslie Knope, read for you by Ms. Tiggy. If you enjoyed this, please consider leaving kudos and comments at archiveofourown.org/works/373-7447-8. Thank you.